live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You know what time it is. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fry-yay. It is December 2, 2017. We are just now, what, 3 days away from Christmas. How about that? And it's a bit bittersweet here on Today's Current Sports, seeing as though this will be our final Current Sports live show until the holiday. That is Christmas. So I really hope you guys are going to have a great one out there. Hope you guys are getting that Christmas shopping done, getting in the mood, the Christmas mood, as we are just now days away. My favorite holiday on the yearly calendar. We've got a great show coming right at you, live right here on WKAR's Current Sports, WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. A ton to talk about as we prep for the weekend. We will be previewing the Detroit Lions and Cincinnati Bengals football game that will take place on Sunday afternoon. The Lions trying to keep their wild card playoff hopes alive. There are a few scenarios that could play out that would possibly get the Lions in, but let's keep it real here. There are a lot of things that have to go right for the Honolulu Blue. So we will preview, again, one step at a time, right? We will preview the Lions and Bengals football game. We'll also recap what took place last night inside of the Breslin Center as Michigan State men's basketball just made it look easy. I mean, my goodness, they're playing Long Beach State, all right? Not formidable competition. Really, this game was like a scrimmage, all right? Exhibition, to be honest with you all. So not many takeaways from that game, but we'll highlight a few things nonetheless that Michigan State could get a bit better at once Big Ten play begins, but not a lot to harp on, all right? We're really going to be grasping at straws to try and find something wrong with MSU basketball from last night. But today is a bittersweet day, not only because it's our last show before Christmas, but also because news broke late last night that a sports broadcasting legend, a pioneer, a man who I've always looked up to and admired in the business, a man by the name of Dick Enberg, who has local ties right here to the state of Michigan, he has passed away, sadly, at the age of 85. We will be paying tribute to the great Dick Enberg, who was an American sportscaster for many years. He provided play-by-play for various sports on numerous radio and television networks like NBC, CBS, ESPN, a complete legend. He's actually from Mount Clemens, Michigan. He went to Central Michigan University and had a storied career, a career that us here in the business dream about, all right? We'll be talking about Dick Enberg's legacy with my former boss at Channel 6 News, WLNS TV 6 sports director Fred Heumann will be joining us around the 1:30 mark. Fred knew Dick, and he's going to share a few stories as it pertains to the legacy of Dick Enberg. Don't miss that. And then on the back end of the show, we will have a pretty cool Christmas segment for you all, bringing to you the best gifts of the bowl season. You guys know around the bowl calendar, right, when it comes to the numerous bowl games out there, many of them that are just ridiculous, have ridiculous names. But the cool thing about these bowl games is that the players and coaches who participate in these ball games get donned with gifts. And some of those gifts are really, really cool. We're going to talk about the best gifts of the bowl season. That should be a really cool Christmas segment for you all out there. And then we will say goodbye after that. All right? So much to get to. So little time. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. That's where we have the live stream up and running. You can comment below that video, or you can even tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here we are with your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team. Sophomores Miles Bridges and Joshua Langford scored 17 points apiece and led five players in double figures as the Michigan State men's basketball team cruised to a 102-60 win over Long Beach State last night at the Breslin Center. Michigan State ranked number 2 in the Associated Press and USA Today top 25 coaches polls, improved to 12-1 overall, and its 11th straight win. It is the longest win streak for the Spartans since opening the 2015-16 season with 13 straight wins. Michigan State is back in action on Friday, December 29th, hosting Cleveland State at the Breslin Center. Tip time set for that one for 7 p.m. The game will be shown live on the Big Ten Network. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer. Ian, you were inside of the Breslin Center on the court doing an outstanding job shooting that game for us here at Current Sports. I just want to know, what are your takeaways when you look at a game like that against Long Beach State, a team not really great, not even on the national scene at all, the national radar at all. What were your takeaways, just quick hits from that game?
I would look at it kind of like Tom Izzo was looking at the last couple of games, kind of some tune-up games, if you will, a chance for Michigan State to improve some not bad areas necessarily, but areas of concern for later in the season. Just a chance to kind of hone your skills here in the early half of the season still.
For sure. What do you think those areas are? I mean, what did you see from MSU? They kind of...
They improved on their rebounding. I know one of the big areas of concern that Tom Izzo's had at the early part of the season is the number of offensive rebounds that they've allowed the other team to have. Especially early on in the game, they've gotten off to some slow starts. And it looked like from the outset of this game, Michigan State was just firing on all cylinders. They won the rebound battle by a pretty healthy margin, so that's a good sign. The assists were still there. You're not going to have 36 every game like you had the other night against right. Houston Baptist.
But of course, right.
They were still, I mean, the offense didn't drop off at all, especially at the beginning or after the half. Sometimes they come out a little slow as well.
Right.
And they kept going at halftime as well.
Well, so, I tell you what, there are a few areas that I'm going to point to that they have to improve on once they do play bigger competition in Big Ten play. But yeah, I mean, we did see some improvements in a few areas that he was not too happy about. Tom Izzo, that being not too happy about against Houston Baptist. So, yeah, good observations there. All right, all right. Prosecutors say this is a really troubling story that I want to bring to our listeners because we've been following this for quite some time now. But prosecutors say a Michigan State University strength and conditioning coach text a link to a strip club's website moments before his speeding pickup truck slammed into the back of another car this summer, killing a mother and her 5-year-old daughter. Todd Moyer of Holton, Michigan, faces one charge of reckless driving causing death, although prosecutors said at a hearing on Wednesday in Monroe County District Court that they intend to add a second count of the same charge. Reckless driving causing death is a felony that can garner a prison sentence of up to 15 years, but Chief Assistant Prosecutor Michael Raynick said a successful conviction on two counts could be sentenced consecutively. That means Moyer potentially faces up to 30 years in prison. Wow. All right. Former Louisville recruit, men's basketball recruit, Brian Bowen, one of the key players in an FBI investigation into college basketball, denies having any knowledge of an alleged payment involving Adidas, Louisville, and his father to steer him to the Cardinals. Bowen told ESPN's Outside the Lines yesterday about when he found out that he was involved in the FBI investigation. This is what Bowen had to say. Quote, I was shocked. I didn't believe it at all. They have to be lying. There's no way I'm involved in it, end quote. Federal documents contend that Adidas funneled $100,000 to an unnamed player, later identified as Bowen, to sign with Louisville at the request of a Cardinals coach. The FBI says Bowen's father, Brian Bowen Sr., accepted that money. Shea Collins scored a career-high 27 points as the Michigan State women's basketball team upset number 22 South Florida 83-73 last night at the New Orleans shootout held at Xavier University. Collie was 9 of 16 from the field, made 9 of 10 free throws, and leading the Spartans to their fourth straight victory. Junior forward Jenna Allen, she added 17 points, while senior forward Taya Reimer scored 12. The Spartans will conclude the New Orleans shootout against Mississippi Valley State tonight at 6 p.m. And if you look at Mississippi Valley State, they lost to Dayton in the first game of the tournament, 65-46. All right, the Michigan State football team heads out to San Diego, California today to get ready for the Holiday Bowl. That's right, number 16 Michigan State is making its first appearance in the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl as the Spartans will take on number 18 Washington State at SDCCU Stadium on Thursday, December 28th at 9 p.m. The game will be televised nationally on Fox Sports 1. Gus Johnson, my man, Joe Klatt, and Jenny Taft all on the call. The 2017 Spartans are looking to become just the eighth team in school history to record double-digit wins in a single season. The Spartans have recorded at least 11 wins five times under 11th-year head coach Mark D'Antonio and won 10 games in 1965 and 1999. All right, the Detroit Pistons and New York Knicks get it on tonight at 8 p.m. inside of Little Caesars Arena. You can catch that game on Fox Sports Detroit. These teams, along with the Washington Wizards, are tied for the sixth spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Pistons are coming off a bad loss on Wednesday to the lowly Dallas Mavericks, 110-93, the final of that one. The Knicks are playing the second of a back-to-back after they took down the Celtics at home last night. I watched that game, very entertaining, and Michael Beasley went off. He came off the bench to score 31 points in that game, and it's very fortunate that Beasley did have that type of a game because Kristaps Porzingis, I mean, he couldn't find anything last night. I just couldn't put the ball in the basket last night. So Michael Beasley, a player to watch for when it comes to the opposition as the Pistons take on the Knicks tonight. All right, the Detroit Red Wings will head to Boston to play the Bruins tomorrow at 1 p.m. The last time the Wings and the Bruins met on December 13th at Little Caesars Arena, the event, the evening, turned out to be a bitter 3-2 overtime loss for the Wings. Now, when the two teams meet on Saturday afternoon in Boston, the Bruins will still have one game in hand on the Wings and an 8-point cushion over Detroit for third place in the Atlantic. The Winged will, coming off a 4-3 loss 2 days ago on the road to the Philadelphia Flyers. And the Detroit Lions hit the road on Sunday to take on the Cincinnati Bengals at 1 p.m. The Lions and Bengals both rank 31st and 32nd in the NFL in rushing yards and are the only teams with less than 1,100 yards total on the ground this year. That's pretty sad, right? Detroit kept their playoff hopes alive with a 20-10 victory over the Chicago Bears last week to improve to 8-6 and remain one game out of the final NFC wild card spot. We'll have more on the Lions later on this hour. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527.
Our first steps that are going to take you and us around the world the next couple of years and culminate in Moscow, Russia for NBC's coverage of the 1980 Olympic Games. We're going to be covering much more than just pre-Olympic events. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to show you sports that you've never seen before, and we're going to cover them differently than you've ever seen before. And we're going to focus on the athletes and their personalities so that you know them more than just as names and numbers. I guess with that in mind, that's a perfect introduction to a man who needs not one of those an introduction. The most famous face in the world today, Muhammad Ali, the heavyweight champion of the world. And champ, let's say it was 1960, Melbourne, right? No, Rome, 60 in Rome. And you were the light heavyweight gold medal champion. Yes. But now it's track and field. Why your interest?
Well, yes, you know, I am the greatest fighter of all times, and now I'm going into the track and field to use my name to help promote it. We have a beautiful track named after myself here, this whole tournament. Promoters and people of this affair came to me and asked me, would I back it? Would I come to help support it? Could they honor me by naming it? And it was on our day. This is the greatest event. The Olympics, the Pan American Games, the AAU, I proved I was great in fighting. Now my field and track events will be the greatest of all times. Just like boxing is the greatest, this will be the greatest. This event here will be the greatest. Greater than all of them.
Now you're going to run in the celebrity relays. Are you going to use your shuffle?
No, I won't do a shuffle. I won't brag too much about that. I'm not as fast as I want to be, but.
And I will love a wonderful kiss he could bring. Who would imagine? Who could imagine? Who would imagine a king?
Welcome to this pretty somber Friday, December 22nd, as we inch closer and closer to the Christmas holiday. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's a bit of a somber one because intermixed with the great Whitney Houston's Who Would Imagine a King there, you heard the voice of one of the legends in the sports broadcasting world by the name of Richard Allen Enberg, better known as Dick Enberg. A pioneer in the business, and you talk about kings, right? Dick Enberg was certainly a king in the world of sports. And as I stated and as I noted at the top of the hour, a man who I've always admired. I mean, you look at this business, and I'm big on no matter what your profession is, no matter what your field of study is, if you want to become great at it, one of the easiest things to do, and I think one of the essential and mandatory things to do, if you truly want to be great at your craft, is you have to study those before you who have been exceptional at it. You know, individuals I look at, you know, a few of the individuals that really piqued my interest in this business were individuals like Stuart Scott, the late, great Stuart Scott on ESPN, Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann, Al Michaels, Bob Costas, Harry Carey, Howard Cosell, Ernie Harwell, Chick Hearn, Brent Musburger, Chris Berman, Jim Nantz. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And I remember growing up watching these guys and just studying how precise they were, how they would come across to the audience, you know, as just a friend, their personality. I mean, there's so many things that go into making a sports broadcaster truly great. And I tell you what, Dick Emberg embodied just about all of those qualities, right? Shocking news. I mean, 2017 has not been kind. And you know, it's so crazy. You know, it just hit me. You know, listening to that introduction, you know, Whitney's song, you know, Who Would Imagine a King? And then that was actually a snippet from the Olympic trials that NBC broadcasted with Dick Emberg and Muhammad Ali, the GOAT, right? The greatest athlete of all time. But every voice that we just heard in that introduction has now passed on and passed away. You know, Whitney Houston left us not too long ago. Muhammad Ali as well. And now Dick Emberg. Wow, that just hit me. Boy, oh boy, it feels like by the month we are losing some truly impactful individuals. Man, 2017 just has not been kind. So we're asking you all to call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to share a thought or a memory of the great Dick Emberg, we want to encourage you all to do that. You can also join us via Facebook.com/currentsports and leave a comment right under our live stream, and I'll get your comment live here on the airwaves, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And I'm seeing Ben already, you know, rest in peace, Dick Emberg. And in about, you know, less than 10 minutes, we are going to welcome to the show my former boss, dear friend and mentor of mine, WLNS-TV6 sports director, Fred Heumann. And, you know, as I was watching the reaction to individuals who were up late last night and heard the news of the unfortunate passing of Dick Emberg, I saw that many of you were paying tribute to him. And then, you know, one of the tributes that really stood out to me, or probably the tribute that really stood out to me, was the one from Fred Heumann. As Fred actually knew Dick, and, you know, he's interviewed Dick Emberg numerous times. And again, you know, Dick Emberg, I mean, he's from the state of Michigan. He was born in Mount Clemens, Michigan. He went to Central Michigan University as well as Indiana University, but he went to CMU. He's a Chippewa. And him and Fred crossed paths a few times. And Fred's going to join me live here on the airwaves to talk about those very interactions. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Anytime I can get Fred Heumann on the show, I always look forward to that interview. All right, before we do that, though, I want to acknowledge the Michigan State men's basketball team, which just handled business last night. I mean, I don't know what more I can say. You know, I watched that game, and I actually on the Big Ten Network, I was in a meeting, okay, and at the same time I'm in the meeting, I'm streaming the game. Ian was there covering the game for us, and I'm watching it. And I don't know why the Big Ten Network does this, but during the regular season, they won't broadcast certain games on the Big Ten Network. They will make you subscribe to BTN Plus, and you have to watch it via the Big Ten Network Student U, which you have to pay for. And boy, oh boy, on social media, many of you Spartan fans were not happy. And I feel your pain there. I mean, you want to check out your team. It's the holiday break. You want to check out your team. If you don't have tickets to the game, you want to sit back, avoid the cold weather, avoid the crowd, sit back on that sofa, enjoy a beverage or two, and watch your Spartans just put it on Long Beach State. But you couldn't do that unless you were willing to come out your pocket, what, like $10, if you want to catch that game. But you know, I'm old school, man. You know, I should say new school. I found a plug, and that plug gave me the username and password, and I got a chance to watch it. All right. So that's how I roll. I'm very cheap. So I'm always trying to find ways to not pay for things. All right. That's probably not a good mentality to have around Christmas, right? Because Christmas is all about spending, but that's just how I am. So I checked out that game, posted multiple highlights via my Twitter feed at Al Martin WKAR, and Michigan State made this look easy. I mean, just complete dominance. And that's what you expect from, you know, the number two team in the nation, you know, arguably number one team, depending on who you're talking to, right? But this is what you expect. Michigan State handled business. Back-to-back games in which they eclipse the triple-digit scoring mark. They had 107 points against Houston Baptist on Monday, and then last night they pour on 102 points against Long Beach State. So you look at two games like that, and it's hard to draw these concrete conclusions because you have to take with a huge truck of salt in account that Michigan State was playing a not-so-good team, all right? Now, one of the things that Tom Izzo complained about, and again, Tom is never happy, that's the lens of greatness, all right? The point I hammered home earlier this week is that Tom Izzo, watching a game, he's not going to be paying attention to the score all the time, especially when you're playing a team like Houston Baptist. He is going to be looking at the little things that could possibly amount to becoming big things when playing bigger and better competition. So he harped on the turnovers on Monday. Now, when it came to Michigan State's turnovers, again, they still had a bit of a problem with taking care of the basketball. Last night, you look at the turnover margin for Michigan State. They had 12 turnovers. That's a reduction from what we saw against Houston Baptist on Monday. But still, you're hitting the double-digit mark in turnovers yet again. That is a problem. And a lot of those turnovers, you look at those turnovers, the big thing is those turnovers being unforced. Those turnovers being completely avoidable. Those are the problems that Tom Izzo sees with this team. And those, you know, watching that game last night, you know, they did have a few of those where it's like, all right, well, you know, just imagine if one of those 12 turnovers come in crunch time against Purdue in Big Ten play. Now, granted, I have to say this as well. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to Big Ten basketball so far this season, but the Big Ten does not look great. Heck, I honestly believe, and I feel confident in saying this, I would not be surprised if Michigan State completely rolled through the Big Ten year unblemished, not losing one game. Now, I said I wouldn't be surprised. I think at most, Michigan State will probably lose two games this Big Ten year because the Big Ten doesn't look really, really great. But back to my point, I mean, Michigan State, you know, 12 turnovers, many of those unforced, that can happen. That can happen. And, you know, in leading Michigan State in the turnover margin, well, you had, you know, Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Nearin Jr. with three. Kenny Goins had one. Gavin Schilling had one. Cassius Winston had two. Josh Langford with two. And then Nick Ward with two. Cut those down, Michigan State is going to be very, very tough to beat. But you know what? What also makes Michigan State one of the best, if not the best teams in the nation? Michigan State has been shooting so well from deep. That's the thing that really makes this team scary. We all know about, you know, how Miles Bridges is freakishly athletic, and he can go to the hole and slam a jam on you and put you on Little Johnny's poster. We all know how Cassius Winston is so savvy at finding different players on the court. We all know how good Michigan State is in the transition game, and they can get to the lane and get easy buckets. Josh Langford can step in and knock down that 15-footer. His mid-range game is polished. We all know about that. But Michigan State shooting from deep has been so fun to watch so far this year. And if they can keep that up, they are virtually impossible to beat. And especially, you look at a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. in his first year with this team, this is a freshman we're talking about. He has shown really no signs other than the early fouls. Okay, other than the early fouls, Jaren Jackson Jr., when it comes to those crunch time moments when Michigan State has needed a bucket or needed to come up big, Jaren Jackson Jr. has not been awed by the bright lights. He has come up big time and time again. But what makes him so dangerous and what makes NBA scouts salivate and swoon over this young pup is that he uses that frame so well when it comes to his defense. You know, constantly he's blocking shots left and right, but offensively he can take you inside and also outside. I mean, we saw Jaren Jackson Jr. last night put home 3 three-pointers. So impressive. Then you have Josh Langford. He knocked down 4 of 5 from deep. How impressive was that to watch? And then you had Cassius Winston, who's added that 3-pointer to his offensive repertoire. He knocked down 2. In all, Michigan State was 13 of 28 from deep. This team is scary, folks. So again, you can't really make concrete conclusions as it pertains to the Michigan State men's basketball team just looking at this week alone. Because again, you're playing Houston Baptist and Long Beach State. However, when you look at the details, this team, and we all know this, I'm not breaking news in saying this, this team has the potential to go all the way. And if Tom Izzo does not get national championship number 2 this year, I believe this is the most talented roster Tom Izzo has ever had. If he doesn't do it this year, I don't know if he is ever going to get Natty number 2. What are your thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I also want to give a shout out to, who is that, Ian? I believe that was our caller, Patrick, that won tickets to yesterday's game.
Yes, that's correct.
Shout out to Patrick. Yeah, we had that interesting competition going on with the whole Jalen Rose and Chris Webber feud as it related to the whole Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas apology and makeup, which was, you talk about emotional. I must say, I'm not a big crier, but I did get that lump in my throat. When I watched that, you know that lump in your throat when you're about to cry and you're about to boohoo, but you're holding it in. I watched that hug between Isaiah and Magic, and man, I got a little emotional, I must say, Ian. All right, but shout out to Patrick for winning those pair of tickets to check out Michigan State and Long Beach State last night. All right, later on this hour, we'll preview the Detroit Lions and Cincinnati Bengals game that will take place on Sunday afternoon. I'm going to address the whole Jim Caldwell firing chatter that has been ramped up here in the late weeks of the NFL season, and I have a different take on it. I have a bit of a different take. I understand a lot of fans out there are not happy with Jim, feel like he has not done a great job this season, but I want to put a few things in perspective when addressing the job security of Jim Caldwell. I'll do that later on this hour, but I want to hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with my former boss, WLNS-TV 6 Sports Director Fred Heumann, who will share his thoughts on the passing of sports broadcasting legend Dick Enberg.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel.
There's Judge drinking out the smile. Not yet. Not yet.
There he is.
There's 15 seconds.
No,
he's not.
They're getting him.
No, he's got 15 seconds. Let's see if we can catch a smile, huh?
Urban Johnson tacks on two more. He has 24.
A reminder of our award ceremony following tonight.
12, 11. Oh, that Reed has hit three.
Oh, there's the pass.
Look at Johnson.
Oh,
there's
the goal.
Yo! It's all over. Michigan State University, national champions, 1979. They chant that cry on every campus in every sport. Everyone wants to be number one. But only one can make it. And Larry Bird, a great star, congratulates the victors.
Dick, I enjoyed working with you and Billy.
Same here again. Urban Johnson leads his Michigan State team to the final score, 75-64.
Oh, man, you talk about a throwback bite, right? Oh, the legendary Dick Emberg. Again, we are paying tribute to the unbelievable career of Emberg. I mean, one that sportscasters dream about. A lot of people forget. I mean, Emberg, you know, you heard his voice there. He called the 1979 NCAA championship game between Michigan State, led by Magic Johnson, and Indiana State, led by Larry Legend Bird. But what a career for Dick Emberg, right? You know, he called NFL games for 42 years, as well as 26 Wimbledons, 23 French Opens, 14 NCAA men's basketball championships, 10 Super Bowls, 9 Rose Bowls, 4 Olympic Games, and plenty of other events for CBS, ESPN, and NBC, and really a one in a million sports broadcasting career. Right now, I want to welcome to the show a dear friend of mine, Fred Heumann, WLNS-TV6 sports director, my mentor and friend. I call him, as you call him, Uncle Freddy. Fred, welcome to the show. How you doing, my man?
Hey, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, man. I saw on your Facebook page your tribute to Dick Emberg, and I had no idea, you know, that you guys crossed paths numerous times throughout your career. I just first off want to ask you, my man, what was your thoughts and what was your reaction upon hearing the passing of Emberg?
Well, I was shocked because he hadn't been ill, and he died suddenly, of course. The way I understand and read this morning, he was actually supposed to be on a flight to Boston to see a family and grandkids, and the daughter got concerned because he never arrived, and of course they found him in a San Diego home with his bags packed and he had collapsed. So he went suddenly, and that makes it even more shocking because he had not been ill. He did games for the Tigers this year. He just retired from the Padres a year ago. He was scheduled to do a couple more Tiger games this year because it was always fun to him to come back to his roots and call a couple of Tiger games, which Fox Sports allowed him to do in recent years. And I was stunned, and you nailed it. The career he had is really unmatched. A lot of guys we idolize, Al. A lot of guys whose career we're like, boy, I'd like to have done this. I'd like to have done this, or I'd like to have been Ernie Harwell. Man, I'd like to be Jim Nantz. But this Dick Emberg did it all. He did everything, and I can't think of anyone whose career that I would want to emulate more than Dick Enberg's. And he's one of our own. I mean, he's a national brand. He's a national name. He's known. Oh, this is big news all over the sports world today. But he's ours. I went to my school, Central Michigan, where I cut my teeth at the same radio station Dick Emberg did at WCEN at different times, of course. And that's how I got to know him and his frequent visits to Central. He was very involved as a Chippewa. He was a proud Chippewa. And he's from Armada. He's from Michigan. I read his book a few years ago, and I was just riveted to it. He was actually penning another one on Ted Williams as we speak. I don't know if he ever finished it. But just a huge loss for our industry and a huge loss for mankind, because he was as good a broadcaster he was as good or better a person.
Yeah, Fred, you both went to, of course, Central Michigan University, and you crossed paths with Dick numerous times. What were those interactions like between you two?
Well, of course, when you have a guy like that and he's your mentor, I've had many interviews with Dick. We didn't stay in touch socially or anything. I have a few friends at Central that have done that, had lunch with him recently. I wasn't quite that close, but any time I had a chance to interview him, which was numerous occasions on television and on radio, you know, I would always pick his brain either on the phone or when we'd go to conference. I mean, this is a guy you want to pick the brain, right? This is broadcasting God. And I remember one conversation I had with him many years ago. In fact, we're going to play a portion of that tonight on 6 News. I'm off, but I cut it last night, and I actually asked him how he'd want to be remembered when he's long gone. And we're running that tonight. But in that conversation off camera, it was a time in my career when I was very frustrated. I wasn't going anywhere. I felt a little bit picked on. I felt like my career wasn't going where I wanted it to go. And he said something that I'll never forget. I think I did put this on Facebook. He said, you know, success in our business is not measured by the awards we win or the jobs we get or the money we make or even our ratings. It's by the people we touch. And I've never forgotten that, and so I came up with a feature after that called The Human Touch. And it was directly related to this advice by Dick Enberg, because I thought about it, and really that's what we should be proud of, Al. And I do that in almost every sportscast I put together. This advice that this man gave me 24 years ago at a hotel room in the Detroit area has stuck with me, and I've lived by it almost every day of my career since then, and that conversation was back in 1993. Our success is based on the number of people you touch. And if you can do that, and if you can touch somebody every day, what else could you want? And that advice came from Dr. Dick Enberg.
Yeah, I think that's advice that we all should live by, right, Uncle Fred? And you look at the career that he had. You know, and I just want to ask you, when watching Dick on television and watching how smooth he was, and he would ask the right questions, and, you know, his preparation was so meticulous. I mean, what do you think separated him from the rest of the pack?
Well, some of it was God-given, and a lot of it was hard work. He was immaculately prepared. He over-prepared for everything. I don't know this firsthand other than my conversations with him, but I know people who have worked with him and know him better than even I do, and said he was a preparation nut. He would so over-prepare. He was fanatical. Even when he did the Tigers this last year, which was kind of, Al, like a celebrity fill-in. He's Dick Enberg. He's from our state. He could just drive in, show up, and do the game. Oh, no. He was in touch with the PR people. He was studying his notes. He was studying every player. He didn't need to do that. All he needed to do was be Dick Enberg. But that's the way he was. He just outworked everybody. He outprepared everybody. And that wasn't God-given. That's what he created. But he also had a God-given gift, the wonderful voice, the melodic tones, the ability to communicate, just the nature that he had. He was so easygoing that when he called, I miss him on football. I was upset when he was replaced in football, and so was he, by the way. He never said it publicly, but they brought in Greg Gumbel to replace him a number of years ago, and I called him, and I said, I like Greg Gumbel. I got to know Greg Gumbel. I think he's a real professional, but he can't shine your shoes. He can't carry your briefcase. And I don't mean that. I don't say that. I'm not here to knock anyone else. Greg Gumbel's a fine broadcaster, okay?
Yeah.
But at the time, Dick was still in his prime, and they moved him out, and I just thought he was so good. I mean, baseball was his first love, and he was great at that. But I thought he was especially good, Al, on football. I thought he was so good on the NFL. I thought that was his best work.
Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Fred Heumann, WLNS-TV6 sports director, as Fred is speaking on the legacy of Dick Enberg. Of course, the unfortunate news of Enberg's passing coming through numerous media outlets late last night. Fred, your decision to go to Central Michigan University, when reading your tribute to Enberg, you told a really cool story of when you were considering being a Chippewa. Can you share that briefly?
Well, I don't remember exactly what I wrote, Al. Dick Enberg didn't really have, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but he didn't really have he wasn't a reason behind my going, but I know that when when he went, you know, when I got to Central, when I went to Central, I don't even think I was aware that he went there. I think it was after I got to Central that I realized he had been there, and then we had kind of the same paths. He worked at WCEN Radio part-time, as I did. That's what I did as I moonlighted in college. That's the reason my grade point was about 2.8 is because I was working part-time at three radio stations and a television station. And one of the stations I was working at was WCEN. I would do high school games on Tuesday and Friday nights. And Dick was one of the voices of WCEN many years before that. So we had similar paths in that regard. And we shared some of those stories as I talked over the years. And he was a proud Chippewa. Whenever he saw me, he'd always pump his fist and say, "Go Chips!" You know, he was very much into the Chippewa. So we had that. I mean, that was kind of our connection. We were both Chippewas. I'm not going to try to pretend that we were best friends, but we had this Chippewa connection. We were in the same business, so our paths crossed. And I cherish what I did know of Dick, and the interviews I had with him were my best ever, not because of me, but because of him. He was fabulous.
All right, final question for you, Fred. How should Dick be remembered?
How what?
How should Dick Emberg be remembered?
He should be remembered as a pioneer, as a guy that in our business who probably won't ever be replaced. He was a guy who was old school, who believed in hard work gets you places. I mean, the harder he worked, the luckier he got. So those Wimbledon championships that he called and those Final Fours and those Super Bowls and the jobs he got weren't by luck. He created that. Genius, as somebody once said, as Dick Vitale always uses this, is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Dick Emberg was 99% perspiration. Yes, he had a God-given talent, but man, what a work of art. He won't be replaced.
Fran Heumann, WLNS-TV6 Sports Director. Fred, I want to give you an opportunity also to plug. I know you guys will probably have a fifth quarter tonight, right?
We have our final one of the year. I'm actually taking the day off to meet friends in old friends in the Detroit area. And Jay Sarkar and Alex Sims are co-anchoring tonight. Just a spattering of games. And as I said, I think I cut it last night, so I hope they run the Dick Emberg interview that I did many years ago about how he wanted to be remembered. So, yeah, we have a lot coming up tonight at 6 and 11:15 on our final fifth quarter of the year. Thanks, Al.
How about that? Merry Christmas, Uncle Fred. Good chatting with you.
Same to you, my friend. Keep up the great work, okay?
You got it. My man, Fred Heumann. All right, let's hit our final break. Apache Online 2, I see ya. I'm going to get to a few of our callers, and I see we got some comments coming in via Facebook.com/Current Sports as well. You are listening to the final Current Sports before the Christmas holiday right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun.
Ah, yes, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished talking with Fred Heumann, WLNS-TV6 Sports Director, a former boss at Channel 6 News here in the Lansing area, as Fred shared thoughts and memories on the legendary career, sports broadcasting career of Dick Emberg, who unfortunately passed away at the age of 82 last night at his home in California. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to get to a few of our listeners out there. Online, too, we've got our dear friend, Apachu, who wants to chime in. Apachu, Merry Christmas. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. First of all, man, happy holidays. That's primarily why I called. Secondarily, and just as important, man, I got to do a Kool-Aid intervention. You got to be cool on how you forecasting MSU's run through the Big Ten. I don't think they're going to go undefeated.
Well, Apache, again, what I said was I wouldn't be surprised if this team went undefeated.
I would be very surprised. They're talented, man.
Have you seen the rest of the Big Ten about you? I mean, what other team besides Michigan State is going to be legit competition? Purdue is lowly. Indiana's horrible.
I don't watch that many games. I can't say, but I will. I'll say three words: Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, okay? I hear you.
In the end, that's all that counts. You can have a great season, go undefeated, and you go into the playoffs, and boom. And I think that's what the coach is worried about. So everybody's got to be cautious. How many times you play Michigan this year?
Oh boy, I think it. What is it, Ian? I think one time. I think it is. Let me see.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
One time,
that's one loss right there.
Yeah, stop it. Come on now. You really think the Michigan? I hear you. I know you. You love the Maize and Blue. They actually play Michigan State on January 13th.
I know. I love them like Ray hates them. Anyway, lastly, I want to say you got a guy coming up. Dick Enberg was great. A little too stiff for me, but he was great at his trade. But you got this guy coming up. Gus Johnson is absolutely incredible.
Isn't he great?
You feel like you're at the game. Every play, every player, man. He's like got you shooting the ball, blocking the shot. He is incredible. Have you heard him?
Oh, I tell you what, Patrick, I got a cool Gus Johnson story for you. You know, Gus Johnson has been my favorite play-by-play guy since I was in college. And when I was a rookie reporter at Channel 6 News, I was actually covering the Big Ten tournament with Fred Heumann. In Chicago at the United Center, Gus Johnson was doing the Michigan State game. Before Michigan State played, I was in the media room, and Gus is there getting some popcorn. And Fred knows Gus. So Fred's like, "Hell, that's your guy, Gus Johnson. I know him. You want to meet him?" And I'm like, "Of course I want to meet him." I'm like fanboying out, right? So he goes up to Gus. He's like, "Gus, man, I want you to meet somebody. This is Al Martin, our new reporter at Channel 6. Man, I tell you, he is one of the most down-to-earth people in the world. I've got a picture with me and Gus from that moment. I'll actually put it on our Current Sports Facebook page. But, you know, and Gus, you know, we had a mutual connection right then and there because we started talking about Detroit. You know, Gus is from the D, so shout-out to Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a huge Michigan fan, too. So he's like you, Apachu. He loves the Maize and Blue.
Okay, all right, see what I got going. All right, man, happy holidays to all you guys. And welcome aboard, Ian.
There we go. My man, Apachu. Thank you so much for calling, Apachu. Again, if you want to call in, we got just about 5 minutes left in the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got Ray on line two. Ray from Indiana. Ray, I told you we'd get you on. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, my friend.
What's on your mind, my brother?
Ian, we were having a lot of trouble with the phone this week, but, hey, I just wanted to let you know, we got a lot to be thankful for. You know, the Bullies never could win a big game all year in football.
Yeah, U of M, right? Yeah, this. You know, it's so funny. Yeah. We just had Apachu, who's such a diehard Michigan fan, and then we have you on, and you are the complete opposite, Ray. I love it.
Well, then we got Michigan State and Ohio State, and they can't seem to beat you guys, even though they're throwing tons of money out at all the coaches.
Yep, I hear you. What do you think is going to happen in the Outback Bowl, Michigan and South Carolina? I think Michigan could win that game easily.
They play a team that week. Yep. Like they put them against some weak team in the Southeastern Conference. Michigan will kill them, and everybody will say, "No, Harbaugh and the Wolverines are ready to go. They're ready to roll." They won't be ready to roll when the Spartans and the Buckeyes get a hold of them again next year.
It's fool's gold, isn't it, Ray? I mean, they play South Carolina, and again, they'll win this game. They'll probably win it by double digits, and then you'll have the Michigan fan base saying, "Oh, boy, watch out for 2018. Thank you so much,
Ray.
Well,
you know, they're bringing in a transfer. They're getting desperate because they know Harbaugh's job's on the line next year or two.
Yeah.
So they're bringing in a junior transfer. You know, he could get hurt, right?
Yeah, and, you know, he hasn't been cleared yet. You know, Jim Harbaugh addressed that transfer. Shea Patterson, quarterback from Ole Miss, he addressed the situation of Shea. And, again, he hasn't been cleared yet, but I don't know if the NCAA is leaning towards making him eligible or ineligible for next season. But we'll see. We'll have to play the waiting game on that.
The Bullies have pressure. They got lots of money. So, you know, they'll throw some money at him so they'll get their way.
Ray from Indiana.
They can't throw their money on the field and win, no, can they?
Very true. Ray,
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Ray. Really appreciate you chiming in. We have, 4 minutes left here, Ian. I don't think we have the Christmas instrumental, so you know what I want to do? I just want to combine.
I got a little one for you.
Oh, do you? Okay, well, let's close out the show with that. And, you know, the best gifts of the bowl season. I wanted to make this kind of a nice little way to close out the show, as it's our final show before the Christmas holiday. And what better way to look at, you know, presents and gifts that certain teams out there will be getting due to playing in a bowl game. So here we go. Okay, Ian, you got to check this, because this is pretty cool. When you look at across the board, which teams will be getting what when it comes to the bowl season. So, okay, the Michigan Wolverines, for instance, going to the Outback Bowl, right? Get this. The best part of the Outback Bowl is that the players will be receiving a $125 Best Buy gift card. They also will be getting a ridiculous amount in credit for food at the Outback Steakhouse, right? They'll be getting this crazy Outback Bowl gift card to go to Outback Steakhouse and eat. I don't know what amount that's for. It doesn't list it here, but I'm pretty sure that's pretty hefty. When it comes to Michigan State, the swag isn't that sexy, but it's still swag nonetheless, all right? They get a Fossil watch. I'm actually rocking a Fossil watch right now. I'm a big fan of Fossil watches.
Well, look at you.
Exactly, right? Every player gets a Fossil watch. And an OGO backpack. You're familiar with OGO backpack?
I am, yeah. They're pretty nice.
They're pretty nice and very expensive. Every player gets an OGO backpack. But probably this takes the cake. The Quick Lane Bowl that will be taking place in Detroit. All right, I want to close it out with this. Duke and Northern Illinois will be playing in the Quick Lane Bowl at Ford Field, right? Get this. They get a $175 Best Buy gift card, a JBL Bluetooth pair of headphones, life-size Fathead decal for each participant of his likeness. So they get like this life-size Fathead decal of themselves that they can put on their wall or something like that and worship themselves. Who knows? An OGO backpack. So they get an OGO backpack as well. A mini helmet, a hoodie, workout shorts, a winter hat, and a vintage football. Every player gets all of those things. Crazy, right?
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh,
how do I get that package?
You got to be a player for either Duke or Northern Illinois, right? The coaches, too. So the coaches and the players get all of that. That's amazing. Best Buy shelling out moolah, bread, right? All right, folks. Well, we have less than 30 seconds left in the show. I want to wish you and yours a very special Merry Christmas on behalf of all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports. Much thanks to Fred Heumann of WLNS-TV6 for joining me on today's Current Sports. We will see you next week, Wednesday. As always, take care and be easy, people.